Recently, in our study in our adult class, we've been studying in the book of John, and there have been several verses and topics that have come to my mind that would make very good lessons and things that I thought we needed to bring lessons from the pulpit from, because more the congregation is assembled. One of those passages found in the book of John chapter 17, we studied when we were in our adult class here about this verse, John 17 and verse 17, where we find Jesus praying for his apostles. And he prays, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He prays that the apostles might be sanctified. But of course, all Christians are to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, Paul prayed for the Thessalonians when he said, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Jesus said in John 17 and verse number 19, he says, I sanctify myself for your sakes, that they also might be sanctified. Jesus' prayer for the apostles that they be sanctified seems to me indicates that it's a very important thing to be sanctified. And perhaps there are a lot of people who do not know what the meaning of it is. Are you sanctified? You don't know what that word means. Be careful how you answer the question. What does it mean to be sanctified? Well, my New King James, I found in studying this topic, has a footnote every time the word is used, and it gives right there in the margin what it means. It says set apart. And that's literally what the word in the Greek means, to be set apart. Perhaps to be set apart for a sacred purpose or use, something that's consecrated or devoted to a particular and singular use or purpose. And as Christians, we are to be sanctified, set apart for the particular use and purpose of serving and honoring God Almighty. Him and Him only. The first commandment dealt with that fact. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. No other gods before me. And we as Christians are to be set apart, devoted particularly and singly to the use, for God's use, for His purposes. An example of sanctification, I think, is found in Exodus chapter 25, where God is giving instructions to Moses, to the children of Israel there. And He says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell therein. He was talking about the tabernacle. He says, you make me a sanctuary, a holy place, a place just for that, that I might dwell therein. It was to be the place of God's dwelling, where He representatively represented Himself among the children of Israel, continually, always, at the tabernacle. It was a holy place belonging to God, for God. It was not to be used for any other thing. It wasn't to be used for shelter for the people. It wouldn't be used for a place for them to eat in as an eating hall, or a place for storage where they could put excessive possessions that they might have, or a place for them to assemble. That was not its purpose. It was for God, a holy place dedicated simply for Him. It was sanctified, set apart for that particular use. The idea of the Christian sanctification is expressed in various ways in the New Testament. One of those is through the idea of dying to self and to sin. We are to die to sin. Die meaning to separate ourselves from sin, to separate ourselves from self, our selfish purposes and goals and ambitions. For example, Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Paul was saying that he died. His goals, his ambitions, his desires, the life that he would have for himself, he has given up. He has died, separated from that, that he might be Christ. And Christ now lives in him and has control of him. He seeks to do Christ's will in all things. He has set himself apart, in other words, belonging to Jesus Christ and living for him. In Colossians 3 and verse 3, Paul writes to the Colossians saying, "For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ with God." You've died. The Christian is to die. He's to die to sin. He's to separate himself from sin. He's to separate himself from self and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way the idea is expressed is in the fact that we are purchased by Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We belong to him. We've been bought with a price. And so we're his, set apart for him, belong to him, to be used for his purposes. Titus 2 and verse number 14, speaking of Jesus, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us." Now, what does the word redeem mean? To buy back. You take something to the pawn shop, and then later on you go down there with money to redeem it. You buy it back. Jesus gave himself for us, he says, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. We're to belong to him, his own possession. That's to be set apart for him. Don't live in somebody else's house. Don't use ourselves for our own purposes and our own glorification or for the purposes of Satan or of sin or of somebody else, but we are to belong to him and people for his own possession, zealous of good works, doing the things he wants us to do. These are some of the ways the idea of sanctification is expressed. But my favorite verse and illustration about sanctification is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to use that as a basis for our further study about this topic this morning. And I want to illustrate this from illustrations that I've used at this congregation before. When I first moved here, I used this as an illustration about sanctification, though I wasn't zeroing in so much on sanctification at that time. Some of you may remember this illustration, or probably you've forgotten it by this time, since that's getting close to more than 6 years now. On the other hand, a lot of you were not meeting with us at that time, and you have not seen this illustration. But the verse on which it is based, 2 Timothy chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And here's the part we want to notice particularly. "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanse himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Now, Paul uses the illustration of a house. This is, in a great house, there are all kinds of vessels. Some of these vessels are made of different things. Some maybe of gold, some of silver, some of iron. Today, we'd have to add plastic and paper and a whole bunch of other such things, wouldn't we? We have vessels in our houses that are made out of all these things. He says that if we're to be vessels, he's comparing us to vessels in the Lord's house. And if we're to be vessels, he says, he wants us to be vessels unto honor, sanctified, set apart for his use, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Well, First thing I want to do is to talk about some vessels, because that's what we want to illustrate with here. Have all kinds of vessels, don't we? We know about all kinds of vessels. I should have brought a table, I guess, or something here. Vessels of plastic. There's one made of wicker or something, I guess. We have vessels made of metal. Vessels, some made of the earth, clay. He mentions that one there. Today we have vessels. Even a box is a vessel, isn't it? A container, that's what a vessel is. And that's a vessel made of paper. We have vessels. My favorite drinking cup. Here's a plastic cup, and here's another type of vessel. All of these are vessels of one kind or another. We all have vessels in our houses that we want to use. And they have a particular purpose for us to use, don't they? And those that we can't use, we don't usually keep them around very long, do we? Well, we're compared to vessels. And he says we're to be vessels of honor, sanctified, set apart for the master's use, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. The Lord would use us, and we must be set apart for his use. Paul thought of himself as a vessel. In fact, the Lord thought of him as a vessel too. When he was instructing Ananias, you remember after the Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 19, verse number 15, Ananias did not want to go to him. He says, I've heard about all the things that he's done to Christians. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. The Lord then thought of Paul as a vessel, a container in which he was going to place the message of salvation to be taken to the nations of the world, the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Paul was that vessel. And when Paul returned from the first missionary journey, Acts chapter 14 to verse 27, returned back to the church at Antioch from which he went out, he says that he gathered the church together and he rehearsed or he reported unto them all things that God had done with him or through him and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So he reported how God had used him. God wants each of us to be sanctified, set apart for his holy use also. Someone has said the gospel, the four gospels, record the works of Jesus while he was here on the earth. And the book of Acts records the work that he did through the apostles after he went back to heaven. It was his work through the apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. He wants you and I to be prepared for every good work. You know, what greater privilege, what greater honor. Now you stop and think about it. What greater privilege, what greater honor can there be than for us to be a vessel in the hands of God? And to be used by God to bring souls unto Christ. That's what he wants. Just like he used Paul to bear his name, the name of through which there is salvation to the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel. So he wants to use you and I to be a vessel to carry this message of salvation unto all those about us. What a great privilege. What a great honor that you and I have, the members of the family of God, or to be a vessel in that great household of God. That's a privilege that we should all thank God for. But, you know, he wants us to be zealous of good works. That verse we quoted from Titus 2 and verse 14, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, from every disobedience, buy us back from sin. So we'd be a people for his own possession. He says, zealous of good works. He wants to use us. He wants us to live a life through which He can work to reach out to others. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. He purchased us with His own lifeblood from sin and disobedience and rebellion, that we might be His own special people, zealous now, set apart for good works. But to be used, we must be sanctified, set apart, and we must be prepared. You know, there are some vessels which cannot be used by the Lord. There are some people that the Lord cannot use because they are not sanctified, they are not prepared, they are not set aside for the Lord's use. For example, I have a cup here. Now, Sam, if you was thirsty, would you want me to, would you like to get a drink of water out of that cup there? You don't know. Well, it's covered with dust there. I don't think he'd like that very much. That cup's dirty. It's been sitting out and collecting dust and for I don't know, maybe a year or longer. Some vessels, some people's lives are like this. Their lives are filled with sin. And we cannot be a vessel that's useful to the Master when our lives are given over to sin. If sin or rebellion controls our lives. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lust and passions, he says, as the Gentiles do who do not know God. It's God's will that we cleanse ourselves. He cannot use a dirty vessel, just as you and I cannot. Just last week, our garbage disposal had gone out, and I attempted to put in a new garbage disposal. Well, I did everything just fine, got it in working just fine until we washed to put on the dishwasher. And put on the dishwasher, and guess what? The dishes didn't get clean. There was a grimy-looking film all over all of those dishes. Couldn't figure out what it was. And I said, well, we're going to have to wash these dishes again. So on Christmas Day, my daughter was there, and she was in the kitchen, and this dishwasher was on again, and Robin was in there, and they come back and says, something's wrong with the dishwasher. Well, to make a long story short, when I put in that garbage disposal, the dishwasher emptied through it, and I was supposed to knock a hole in the side of it to let the water out through the garbage disposal, and I didn't make a hole in it, so it kept putting water in that dishwasher, but it just kept staying in there, and it never could empty it out, and it got all this grimy dirt all over all of those dishes that were in there. And I'm not sure what happened to all of them. I think maybe some of them got put away, so every time I take a dish off the shelf or pick up a spoon or something, you know, right now we give it the once over, you know, and some of them I have washed by hand and other things, or try to get them back in the dishwasher. Doesn't anybody want to drink or eat from a dirty vessel? And you and I, if our lives are filled with sin and dirt, cannot carry salvation to those that are lost. The only way that we can be cleansed, he said, sanctify them through thy word. It must be the word applied to our lives. And we must be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5 verse 26. That he might sanctify it. Talking about us as Christians, the church. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with a washing of the water by the word. But then there's other vessels that have some problems that the Lord can't use. And this one here illustrates that type of vessel. Again, I want to ask Sam down here. Now, I haven't talked to Sam about this. Sam, if I was to fill this with water and come bringing you some water to drink, you think I could manage to get water to you?
It's kind of
that this one's holy. Now, not H-O-L-Y. Or, it's full of holes. And you can't carry water very far in this, because it's got holes in the bottom of it. You know, the only way that we can carry the message of salvation to other people is by being able to contain the teachings of Christ and to take that message to them. We have to take it. We have to be able to carry it. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Hosea's time, Hosea said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." If we do not know God's word, we're like this vessel here. If it goes in one ear and out the other, we're like this vessel here. If we cannot contain the message of salvation to carry it to others, we're going to be like this vessel. Some cannot say, "Well, but I can't remember scriptures," sometimes people will say. Well, we all are faced with that problem to a limited degree. To me, it's not limited to scriptures. There's a lot of things I can't remember. And it seems like the more that I try to put in here, the less of it I can contain. But, you know, we usually remember the things that we find important and interesting. I didn't know who it was now. When I was preparing this sermon, I remember seeing on television the other day, it was somebody's 5-year-old son that could tell some football player's 5-year-old son could tell you the name of every quarterback in the professional football leagues. Man alive, I thought that's something. He's got a great memory, you know. But you know, there's a lot of other people who can tell you all the players, all the names of the players on all the professional teams, football, basketball. Sometimes the same people say they have trouble memorizing or remembering God's word. And sometimes, you know, we can know all the names of the movie stars. And we can tell you about all the different films and the movies that have been made and who played in all of those films and movies and so forth. We can remember that, which is important and interesting to us. It's not a fault of the mind. We have to plug the holes. We have to study and learn to be able to be a useful vessel in the Lord's kingdom. But then there are other people who cannot be used by the Lord because they're loyal to the commands of men and man-made religious organizations. They do not belong to the Lord. They've not been set apart for the Lord. They're not His. They belong to man-made organizations. And they believe and teach man-made doctrines and teachings. In Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9, Jesus called the people their hypocrites. And He said, "Isaiah prophesied correctly of you." He said, "In vain do they, this people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He said their worship was in vain because they were loyal to the commandments of men. He said they were hypocrites. They professed to honor God, but their heart was far from Him, made them hypocrites. They didn't really belong to God. They belonged to the doctrines and the teachings of men. Got a bottle here someplace to illustrate what I'm talking about. This is something called Red Door. I keep trying to call it Barn Door, but that's not what it is. It's Red Door. Now, if I wanted to use that container, it'd have a problem, wouldn't it? It's already filled with something else. And my wife would be most upset if I tried to pour this out and use it for something else. After all the trouble she went to make sure she got it for Christmas there. So I can't use that vessel, can I? It's loyal to something else. Belongs to somebody else. And if I'm loyal to the man-made teachings and organizations, churches and religious organizations that are made by man, then the Lord cannot use me. The only way I can use this bottle is for it to be emptied out, all of that to be poured out, and then I might be able to use that vessel. And so it is with Jesus. He cannot use us while we are loyal to men's teachings and organizations. We're going to have to empty ourselves of those things in order that we be His, to be set apart, to be His, and belong to Him. Then some people cannot be used by God because they're already being used by themselves. If I was to send you to go get a drink of water, I don't think I'll have to take this to Sam here, but if I was to give this to Sam to go get me a drink of water, I wouldn't get much to drink, would I? Why? Well, Campbell Soup Company's already using this tin, isn't it? Already belongs to something else. It's so full of itself that there's not room for anything else in there. And Jesus Christ cannot be in there. The message of salvation cannot be carried with this vessel. And if you and I are filled with ourselves and we're living for ourselves and our time and our talent and our money and our energies are all spent on ourselves and our goals and our purposes and what will bring us glory and honor, what will make us feel important and significant instead of what will bring the Lord Jesus Christ glory and honor, then we're like this vessel, living for ourselves. And we cannot honor Him. Lord can't use us as long as we're living for ourselves. Matthew 16, verse 24, He said, "If anyone will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will seek to save his life," save what's in there, save the life that we have. "Whosoever will seek to save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." If I give up my life for His sake, then I will find truly life. You know, the Apostle Paul made a statement about Timothy and some of his other co-workers on one occasion that illustrates this very point. When he's writing to the Philippians, he was talking about sending someone to visit the Philippians. And he said, "I'm going to send Timothy because I don't have anybody else that will naturally care for you like Timothy." He says, "For all seek their own, not the things of Christ." All of his other fellow workers, he said, they're all taking care of themselves. They won't be concerned about your state because they all seek their own, not the things of Christ. To be set aside, to be sanctified. I can't spend my life seeking my own things. I've got to seek to do the will of the Father as Jesus did. So this matter of being sanctified involves a lot of things, doesn't it? To be sanctified, set apart, useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. But then there's one other type of vessel that He can't use that I'd like to mention, and that is that some vessels are not in His house. You know, Mary says in a great house there's all kinds of vessels. But there are some people that are not in His house. There's some vessels He can't use because they're not in His house. I can't use your hot tub, can I? Well, if you invite me over, maybe I might use it occasionally or something, you know, as a visitor there. But I can't use your hot tub on a regular basis, can I? If you had a hot tub. Because it's yours. It's in your house. It's not in My house. Same thing could be said for all the other vessels in your house. They're yours. They're in your house. Are you in the Lord's house? The Lord can only use those that are in His house. And that house is the church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. He is called out. That's what the word church means. It means those are called out. That's the same idea as being set apart, isn't it? Those that are called out of the world, set apart from the world. called out to be His. That's what the church is. It's those called out, those set apart to be His. Are you His? Have you given up all to be His? Are you a vessel sanctified? A vessel unto honor? Sanctified? Useful for the Master and prepared for every good work? He wants us to be preparing ourselves as each day goes by to be a better vessel in His service. But I have one last question I'd like to ask. What do you do with a useless vessel? The other day, driving down here, I don't know whether it's still out there or not, but the neighbor's trash was sitting out by the side of the road. There was a vessel about this same color sitting out there by their trash. As I drove by, I wondered, well, what's that doing sitting there, you know? And I looked over, a big crack all the way down one side, around the other side, a big crack all the way down the other side. Useless vessel sitting there. They had thrown it out with the trash. What do you think God does with useless vessels? In Jeremiah 48, verse 38, He said of the nation of Moab who had failed Him and failed to be a vessel unto honor, He says, I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure. What did you do with all the vessels that on Christmas Day, you know, after you opened all the presents, took your presents out of those vessels, boxes, and so forth? You probably did some crushing up of boxes and so forth, useless vessels that you broke. Maybe there's a bunch of styrofoam even in our trash barrel. Broke up that styrofoam and boxes and things in order to get rid of them. What's going to happen to useless vessels? Well, they're going to be cast out, aren't they? This here is a useless vessel. It's dirty. It'll never come clean. It's all scarred up. It's going to be thrown out. The Lord says in regards to useless vessels that they're going to be thrown out. On that day, He's going to say, depart from me, all you cursed, in the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He doesn't want one of us to be cast out, but that's what's going to happen. Into that fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Are you a vessel sanctified and useful to the Master? If you're not, will you not repent this morning? And if you're not a vessel in His house this morning, won't you, through repentance, confession of His name, being baptized into Him, put Him on as your Savior, come out, set yourself apart from the world, be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, as you're baptized with Him and arise to walk in newness of life. Won't you do that and be a vessel unto honor for the Master? Will you not come while we stand, while we sing?